News. I'm Sherry Preston. Fresh off last night's State of the Union address, the Biden administration this morning is touting new jobs numbers that show the economy added 275,000 of them to the economy last month. This is Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu.
Under the president's leadership, we have seen the lowest gaps in the unemployment rate difference, right, between Black and Latino workers versus the average. And that's progress. Now, it's not enough, and so that's why the work continues.
The president mentioning Donald Trump not by name during last night's speech, only as my predecessor throughout. The former president has obtained an appeals bond totaling just over $91 million to cover the judgment in his defamation case with columnist E. Jean Carroll that he lost. The money had to be there before his legal team could appeal. Daylight saving time kicks in this weekend. More heart attacks, strokes, and fatal car accidents usually follow because your body clock gets out of whack. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. representatives are split along party lines after last night's State of the Union address. Democrat Mark Pocan tells Spectrum News he liked what he heard about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. Republican Brian Stiles says he was listening to hear what the president had to say about the cost of living. One Wisconsin voter says she's more interested in policy than politics. Diane Valencia of Racine says she wanted to hear President Biden deliver straight talk about the State of the Union last night.
I expect a responsible person in a political position to give me facts and explain to me, as a nation, what are we supposed to do to make things possible.
Valencia says she was interested in hearing what the bipartisan infrastructure law is doing for her community. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new program aimed to help homeless youth in the eastern Minnesota area is underway. According to a WDIO report, the United Way of Carlton and Pine County area has introduced a program to match volunteer hosts with homeless kids who need a safe and stable environment. The organization also has a new resource center where kids can eat, shower, and get a go bag to carry their belongings. Officials say at least 5% of the students in Carlton County are considered homeless, and this program is crucial for them. A Barron County man has been sentenced on charges of possession of child pornography and child sexual exploitation. 25-year-old Derek Salewski of Osceola was sentenced to 9 years in prison and 3 years of extended supervision after being found guilty of the charges on December 14th. Salewski was arrested after law enforcement officials seized his phone. A search of the phone showed Salewski had thousands of photos and videos of child sexual assault material and child pornography. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Badgers blank Rutgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, with a much-needed win at home. They held on to beat Rutgers 78-66. A.J. Storey had 19 points, but Greg Gard says the key was the return of Kamari McGee. And the spark, he added, after missing 6 weeks with a foot injury.
He brings a toughness to us that we lacked. I always say I need more pit bulls, less poodles. He's a pit bull.
So Wisconsin faces the number 3 Boilermakers Sunday at 12:30 at Purdue. The girls' state high school basketball tournament continues. The finals tomorrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay. Baseball, the Brewers with an 8-2 win over the Chicago White Sox in Arizona. Inside the clubhouse, manager Pat Murphy says he's been impressed with the progress of right-handed pitcher Colin Ray.
This kid found himself with the help of Woody and obviously Wade. You know, they've built this friendship that's really special, and to see his confidence grow is just, I mean, it's incredible, man.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Under a mix of sun and clouds today, we'll eventually see abundant sunshine by this afternoon with highs hitting the low 40s. A clear night tonight will allow lows to fall to the 20s, and by tomorrow it'll be bright and beautiful and just a touch cooler. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is TGIF, Friday, March 8th, 2024. Now 6 past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome you in high atop State Street off the Capitol Square here in Madison, Wisconsin, where it is overcast and some much-needed rain for our agriculture producers, our farmers across Wisconsin, at least here in south-central Wisconsin, and hopefully that the rest of Wisconsin is getting some rain as well. Happy to have you along on a Friday. Big show coming up a little bit later. I have my Wisconsin, for those watching on the stream, my Wisconsin Badger hoodie on. Mom doesn't like it when I wear a hoodie on the show, but I'm wearing the hoodie today because I went to the game last night. And by golly, on Tyler Wall's senior night, the Badgers knocked off Rutgers. It was a great game. Thanks to my friend Jeff Daniels for taking me along. It was fantastic at the Kohl Center. Great atmosphere. And McGee came back last night. Was a huge spark plug. Also, AJ Store. Great team last night. Great tour. Celebrating that. Later on in the show, we will talk about the name, image, and likeness. NIL. College sports. Barry Alvarez said yesterday he thinks it will ruin college football. And get this, there is a move afoot by the WIAA here in Wisconsin that controls high school sports to maybe let high school kids get NIL deals. I'll tell you why I am absolutely opposed to that. But right now, a top story of the day, the State of the Union address by President Joe Biden in our nation's capital last night. And I guess we'll call it the Republican response. And here to break it all down with us from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., he usually joins us on Wednesday, but has been so kind enough to make time on the calendar. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a Wisconsinite, like myself, a former Republican who left the party. He has worked for guys like Mitch McConnell, John McCain, and has helped defend democracy all over the world, in particular Eastern Europe. Trigvi, thanks for joining us on a Friday from our nation's capital.
You are welcome, Todd. I just, I texted you last night when we saw what Derek Van Orten did, and I thought I should go on Todd's show and talk to him about it if he'll have me.
You always have a seat at this table, Trigvi. That's a given. That is an absolute given, and glad to have you along. Let's just start off, first of all, before we get into good old do-nothing Derek Van Orten. I like the do-nothing Derek Van Orten because he's done virtually nothing while he's there and won't pass meaningful immigration reform and other things. But, of course, you like to call him Derek Van Odd One, and last night really fits into that category. So we got to decide. Maybe we kind of use him interchangeably. But before we get into him, what were your overall impressions, your big general knee-jerk reaction to Biden's State of the Union?
So I thought, and I think people watching it, I thought it was strong. And I'll tell you, it operated on several levels. I think starting with Ukraine and NATO was a really smart move for Biden on several levels. One, it divides the Republican Party, right? If there is a division within the Republican Party, and you all have heard me talk about this in the past, you know, one of the most important voter groups in a state like Wisconsin is what I call Red Dawn conservatives. Mm-hmm. They're guys our age. They came of age during Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson in the state of Wisconsin. And they really are incongruent with MAGA when it comes to foreign policy and the role that America should play, right? They support aid to Ukraine. They understand that what Vladimir Putin is doing there, that he's our enemy. And the fact that Biden went straight at those voters and that divide between, you know, the Republican senators who passed the Ukraine aid bill and what's happening in the House, it was really strong. And I don't know if you noticed this, but did you see Mike Johnson nodding along as if he was in agreement?
Was it you or was it maybe somebody else from Lincoln Project? Somebody tweeted last night during the speech. They said, you could tell, it was Rick Wilson, said, Johnson wants to clap so bad. You can just tell. And and it's like, it's almost like Trump has some sort of, a chain attached underneath the dais there and just saying, no, Mike, you can't do this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the, I mean, this tells you the sort of state of the Republican Party and where we are. Mm-hmm. Did you notice usually the Speaker of the House introduces the President of the United States?
Yes.
He didn't even have the decency to do that. And I think it's not because Mike Johnson probably didn't want to. I think it's because he understood that that was going to mean that that would be something that, that he would be attacked for by the Trumpists.
Right.
Like, what a sad state. We're Americans before, and Joe Biden made that point. We're Americans first. We're not Republicans or Democrats first.
What did you think, Trigvi, of just the room in general? I know Hakeem Jeffries, Democratic leader, in his presser this morning had photos of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who dressed up in complete campaign gear, complete with a MAGA hat on and several other campaign stuff. There was one Republican who came with Trump's mugshot on that said never surrender on it. Again, we talked yesterday the story that Speaker Johnson had reportedly confirmed by three or four different sources told his caucus, his conference behind closed doors that, well, we're going to have decorum here. We're not going to have any of this. They didn't follow that last night.
They didn't follow it last night. And I thought Biden's response to Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, with the whole say her name thing.
Yeah.
And I will point it out, too. You know who else was chirping on that? Although he only got like 26 likes for it was our former governor, Scott Walker. Well, Joe Biden did say his name. And I didn't see Scott Walker or Marjorie Taylor Greene thanking him because he completely took her and these people who are trying to make an issue of that to the woodshed. And he talked about how much pain and showed empathy for the parents driven out of the personal experience of losing two children himself.
Right.
Right. I think, you know, to some degree, part of the Republican Party's problem is you have far too many of these guys who think Fox News is the way the world really is. And so they try and live that
as a
reality.
A lot of conservative media, other folks online, social media on the air last night making this big deal about, well, Joe Biden did this because waited so long. It was later than usual this year because he wanted to use this for political purposes and kick off the general election on national TV. Explain to folks, Trevi, as someone who's worked on the Hill, why this State of the Union was so late this year.
Well, dysfunction in the U.S. House of Representatives was the primary driver why it was so late.
But it's the speaker.
Create the chaos, rail against the chaos.
But it's the speaker's choice. The president doesn't set the calendar.
No.
It's the speaker of the House who said, hey, let's kind of stick it to Biden and make it later than usual. And all they did was really help him kick off his national campaign.
Yes, I will say this, you know, you asked about the atmosphere in the building. Mm-hmm. I did not like the Democrats chanting four more years. I really didn't like that. I think that was inappropriate, too. So CJ, if you're listening, don't call in and say that you thought that I'm only one side in this. I'm both siding it. It was wrong for them to be doing it. That said, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, crazy.
Yeah.
The State of the Union, quite frankly, is supposed to be a speech that's, you know, exactly that, setting what is the state of our union. And I, you know, the Republicans, it was almost like they had prepared, which you do, you prepare what you're going to say before it's even said, right? What your response is going to be.
Right.
It was almost like they had set their response in the Biden campaign and the White House had figured out exactly what they were going to try and say and went out and made that look foolish. And then how about Katie Britt?
We're going to get to her. We're going to get to her in just a little bit here. Yes, that was the Republican response. But I mean, I've been watching these things since, I don't know, 1978, 79. Have you ever seen, I mean, last night, her Republican response made Marco Rubio's water incident look normal.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, here's the thing. I know Scott Walker's running a one-man Twitter operation to try and be on the ticket. She actually made Scott look like a capable speaker. And Marco Rubio, listen, one of the best things that I saw is, you know, somebody had a picture of Marco Rubio and Katie Britt, and it was like, hey, Marco, hold my beer.
That's fantastic. Let's go to the phone line.
Actually, the other one I saw, somebody had taken, I thought it was just one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. They had they had taken Katie Britt's speech, turned it into black and white, and had Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls playing underneath her speech.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Let's go to the phone lines quickly.
Yeah, somewhere John McCain was loving that. For Whom the Bell Tolls, the book and the song were favorites of his.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to Green Bay. Stephen in Green Bay, what do you think of the State of the Union last night?
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, I'm in Wisconsin. Second of all, this is the first time I've seen Travy on the live stream, and I didn't realize he was bald like myself. bald people unite. As far as the State of the Union, I was very pleased with Joe Biden. I thought we saw a side of Joe Biden that we haven't seen in the past and that we needed to see, quite frankly. We needed to see Joe Biden take the Republicans to task and really call them out on their BS. What I saw was absolutely disgusting about the State of the Union is A, Derek Van Orden screaming out in the middle of the address. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. If we could take him and exile him to Illinois, that'd be great, because honestly, I'm embarrassed to say he's a Wisconsinite. And also, the Republican response by Katie Britt, they would have been better off not giving a Republican response, to be quite frank. I was listening to that on Civic Media last night, and that was creepy. That was downright creepy, that whispering, sauntery, white chicks version of the State of Our Union by the Republicans was absolutely disgusting.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for calling in. Trigvi, about 30 seconds before the break, your quick knee-jerk reaction. We'll get more on the other side.
I feel bad for Stephen that he didn't get to see your kitchen. Oh, my God.
The only question with Katie Britt is who's going to play her on the cold open of SNL on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. 100%. We can talk on the other side what she's got coming.
Absolutely. All kinds more. Your calls as well. We're talking State of the Union with Trigvi Olson, and you are here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Selecting the right multi-peril crop insurance policy and hail coverage are big decisions. Thankfully, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can help you find the right fit for your farming needs. The specialists at Ag Country know agriculture and will utilize their exclusive Optimum tool to save you time and protect your bottom line. Contact your local Ag Country office today to get started. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Lake Eyre, 1260 AM, 107.5 FM, WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Eyre, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Welcome back to the Telephone Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on TGIF, Friday, March 8th, 2024. Mr. Zommers, what'd you dial up there?
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Man, is he is so good.
Quickest fingers in the West. That's right. Well,
I rant for a second, Todd?
You could. You're giving us an extra day. Absolutely. Go ahead.
This is the best hour of my day by far, by the
way. We're back with Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Go ahead, Trigby.
All right, Todd. I have a message for Democrats across the state of Wisconsin.
Sure.
And particularly in the 3rd District. Derek Van Orden is an embarrassment. An embarrassment. And I understand there's a couple of candidates running against him. Every speech, everyone they talk to, they need to be repeatedly saying, Derek Van Orden is an embarrassment to the people of the 3rd Congressional District. They have to drive it home what an embarrassment this guy is. And here's the thing. The 3rd Congressional District, up until Derek Van Orden, had a long history of really well-thinking, moderate voices that didn't stand for party, didn't stand for crazy and Steve Gunderson and Ron Kind. And I ran the campaign for Jim Harsdorf that lost to Ron Kind. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was never not proud of how Ron Kind handled himself. And of course, you and I both work for Steve Gunderson. Derek Van Orden is an embarrassment. He is making people in the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin look like a bunch of people that they are not. And it just infuriates me.
I agree. And in case you did not watch the speech last night, we know that not everybody are political nerds like Trigby and I are. But in case you did not watch, first of all, let's take it back and give you a little history. Last year, good old Marjorie Taylor Greene with her Cruella de Vil white fur leapt to her feet and yelled lies to Joe Biden during the speech. That was last year. And so the question, and we talked about a little bit last segment, that Speaker Mike Johnson, he may stab you in the back, but he'll always smile when he does it. And so he pled to his caucus, to his conference, please do not embarrass me tomorrow night. And of course, who was going to break that? Who was going to really be the a-hole and break this? Well, shouldn't have been any surprise. It came right here from Wisconsin. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this morning's edition, Wisconsin freshman Republican U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden shouted lies at President Joe Biden last night during a piece of Biden's State of the Union speech in which he was critical of former President Donald Trump. The interjection came early in the remarks as Biden decried Trump over his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Here's the quote from Biden. He said, quote, my predecessor failed in the most basic presidential duty that he owes to the American people, the duty to care, unquote. Then Van Orden leapt, I'm not sure he leapt up, but he yelled from his seat, lies. Now, this was reported by CNN and others that it was Van Orden who said this, but it was unconfirmed until Manu Raju from CNN caught up with good old Derek Van Odwin on the House floor afterwards. Mr. Zommers, we have that ready. Very good. Here's Derek Van Orden talking to Manu Raju from CNN after last night's State of the Union.
The president should have started and ended his State of the Union address by apologizing to the American people. He's let 8 million illegal immigrants in to the country. He opened the border, and you know he can close it. So what he said there in the State of the Union a tremendous amount of it was just flat out fabrication.
You're obviously a member of the House. Is it appropriate for you to yell out lies when the president is addressing you guys?
Is it appropriate to tell the truth?
I mean, what a snarky little, you know, person. Number one, he goes on an immigration rant when what he yelled lies about was over the way that, you know, Trump approached COVID, which, of course, is a, we talked about this yesterday, Trinkby, because, you know, your old friend, and I say that sarcastically, Ali Stefanik, had the gall to try to summon the spirit of Ronald Reagan yesterday at the House conference presser and said the big question tonight is going to be, are Americans better off now than they were 4 years ago? And so we spent some time yesterday talking about where we were at 4 years ago. You know, semi-freezer trucks being used as morgues in the hospital, mass graves on Long Island or Staten Island in New York, healthcare workers overrun, couldn't buy toilet paper at stores, couldn't buy food at stores, gas prices soaring, people out of work, businesses shutting down. That's where we were in March of 2020, 4 years ago. My guess is we are better off than we were 4 years ago. And so that's what Biden started out with. And Van Orden calls it lies. Trigby?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? We had all of that going on, and I'll contrast it with literally, you know, Elise is trying to use Ronald Reagan, right? Ronald Reagan would have been applauding that speech. Yes. Certainly elements of that speech. Ronald Reagan would be happy that Finland and Sweden, yesterday Sweden joined NATO. Ronald Reagan wanted that to happen. He understood the power of those alliances.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan would be, you know, there was a populist element. Ronald Reagan, the person who gave a Reagan-esque speech last night in many ways was Joe Biden. And Elise Stefanik, honestly, she, Katie Britt, all these people, Scott Walker, they're all auditioning to get Trump's attention because they all think that's how they end up as vice president. And it's true. That is literally, you know, I say this to people back home all the time. It isn't complicated to rise in the Trump era Republican Party. Just spew crazy and get yourself on TV to do it.
There you go.
Right?
I want to go quickly before we run out of time this segment up to your neck of the woods up in northwest Wisconsin. Gene from Eau Claire calling in. Gene, thanks for taking the time. What say you?
Well, thank you, guys. First of all, I thought that the president did an outstanding speech. I wasn't going to watch it because I'm sick of all of the antics that the Republicans have used to go after our president. But then I was so grateful that I did watch it. That was my duty. I watched all of them. But anyway, I want to call in about Van Orden. Now, Van Orden is a guy that takes advantage of the press wherever he can. And like when we lost our medical facilities down on our side of the state, I was just disgusted. Who did I see at the televised information session sitting at the front table? Van Orden. Like he was really going to help our state. He's always been in any pictures on our side of the state that involves any issues like he's really working on them. So he knows how to work the press, which is disgusting, and nobody talks about his bad activities. In addition to that, when they were voting on the impeachment power, you know, the House to investigate Joe Biden, yep. Of course I call him even though I know he don't listen. In fact, he always goes the opposite of my calls, but that's okay. he was writing saying, well, this didn't, just because he voted for this investigation, but he all doesn't mean he's going to impeach him. So
right. Then
he puts in his letter to me, the committees have already uncovered an alarming amount of information that shows President Biden's involvement in his family's corrupt business activities.
Yeah, that's nuts, Gene. Hey, really quickly, yes or no, if Trigby and I come up there, will you have a beer with us?
Well, it depends on when you come.
Well, we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. We'll talk more on the other side about it, get Trigby's take on it as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Friday on Nightlight, we talk Green Bay Film Festival and what's coming up on Max Inc. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote.
Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Class 3 milk prices are up midday on a Friday. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Before we take a look at those numbers, Matt Tranel from EverEgg tells us what's driving today's dairy markets and which of those trends will continue.
I would anticipate milk production to continue to struggle moving forward. I would continue to believe that the U.S. dairy farmer is going to likely continue to ship cows when maybe that cow looks at you wrong or it's got some type of issue, as coal prices are still significantly higher than where we were a year ago. But at the same time, the heifer inventory is not very high. We're at the lowest level since 2004. And so that is going to really hamper the ability for the U.S. dairy farmer to really grow production in a meaningful way anytime quick.
Matt Tranel along with us, a broker analyst with EverEgg out of their Platteville offices. If you've got questions about what he's forecasting in the dairy market, you can reach out by visiting EVER.AG. I've got your midday commodity markets coming up.
Nobody likes driving on a rough road. Hitting potholes is hard on your body. The bumpy terrain is hard on your vehicle and your farm equipment. Today, you can take action to improve your rural roads. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to make commuting and farming easier on you. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Welcome back as we take a look at our commodity markets midday on a Friday. The April Class 3 milk contract is trading up 23 cents at 16.14 a hundredweight. The May contract is up 17 cents at 16.55 a hundredweight. Corn and soybeans are moving a different direction. Cash corn is down 3¾ cents at 4.34¼. December new crop corn is down 2 cents at 4.67 a bushel. Cash beans are down 10 cents at 11.56¼. And November new crop beans are trading down $0.05¾ at 11.48 a bushel. The wheat market is seeing some strength today. Cash wheat is up $0.05¾ at 5.34¼, and July new crop wheat is up $0.05¼ at 5.45¼. That's your midday market update on a Friday. Don't forget to follow along with us throughout the weekend at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Under a mix of sun and clouds today, we'll eventually see abundant sunshine by this afternoon, with highs hitting the low 40s. A clear night tonight will allow lows to fall to the 20s, and by tomorrow, it'll be bright and beautiful and just a touch cooler. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
I don't need your rocking chair, your Geritol or your Medicare.
Well, I still got neon in my
my veins. This gray hair don't mean a thing.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little George Jones for you on a Friday, TGIF. Play a little bit more of that, Mrs. Aubrey. You can't go wrong with George Jones, right?
My body's old, but it ain't impaired. I don't need your rocking chair.
That's what Joe Biden was saying last night. I mean, Alzheimer's? Dementia? Slowing down? I didn't see that. In fact, he ticked off the Fox News crew so much that they dropped. They didn't even mention the fact that he, you know, might be cognitively failing or dementia or Alzheimer's. They couldn't even say that. And they switched to maybe he's on Coke and Adderall. I'm not making this up. That was
right. Did they seriously say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Trigvi Olson, and senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us. It's a story. I just want to make sure that Trigvi Olson, always like to introduce him for those just joining us, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, go ahead.
Did you notice, Todd, how and then the other thing is, why is he yelling at us?
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, why is he's so angry? Now, let's reverse that, right? Okay. There's a few things he got straight. He knew his wife's name, which their candidate doesn't even know his wife's name.
Yes.
He thinks his wife is Matt Schlapp's wife. His wife showed up at the speech, which no one has seen Donald Trump's wife, right? Like, have they ever watched a Trump rally? The guy yells incessantly.
All the time.
That's all he does.
Exactly. No, I thought it was we're going to get to the age in a second, but again, just a great speech talking about the State of the Union last night. Also, we're going to get to the Republican response for whatever it was. First, I want to pick up on Gene's call from Eau Claire. And by the way, we can't give you all the details yet, but Trigvi and I are talking about, yes, Gene, being up in the Chippewa Valley and, you know, just getting out and hanging out with Wisconsinites, right, Trigvi? I mean, that's the thing, as you and I both say all the time, the more we just sit down and have a beer and a cheese curd, you find out how much we're alike.
Yeah, you know, Gene, we there's a good chance that we'll be coming to that part of the world very soon. And I you know what? I think Gene should come down to Ray's bar and have ham sandwich with me and drink some beer with the two of us.
Yeah.
And probably other listeners too. And to that point, you know, Todd, we were talking about Van Orton, and one of the organizations I follow on Twitter from Western Wisconsin is Third Wisconsin Volunteers.
Sure.
And they asked me if I could give them a shout out. And I normally wouldn't do this, but for those who don't follow them, you should. They are on top of Derek Van Orton all the time, which is how I came across them. Mm. They also do some work with the union, which is Lincoln Project's volunteer organization that people can join the union. You can go to jointheunion.us, but they're doing a great job. They wanted a little shout out and they really deserve it because they're fact checking Derek Van Orton every single day.
That's
and they
great.
Are, you
That's
know,
great.
They're getting to the fact that he is one odd one.
One of the
and a narcissistic odd one too. Talk about a guy who yells a lot.
Oh,
seriously,
my gosh,
like
right?
if you're a Republican and you're thinking, well, Joe Biden was so angry and yelling a lot, like, okay, but what does Derek Van Orton do?
Well, and also
you don't like that with Biden, you shouldn't like it with Van Orton either.
And also a second district congressman from Wisconsin, Democrat Mark Pocan, tweeted out last night a great point, too. He said, you know, here's a guy who yelled and verbally abused teenage pages in the Capitol for, quote unquote, disrespecting the Capitol because they laid on the ground for 2 minutes to take a picture of the rotunda dome. Meanwhile, on the floor of the House of Representatives, he screams at the president of the United States, giving one of the most important addresses a president can do. I thought that was absolutely spot on.
He was at the Capitol on January 6th.
Right.
He didn't just go in, but he was there. Like, give me a break.
And he
supported that guy. What a phony. He's an embarrassing phony.
And again, you brought this up before because you worked for John McCain. When John McCain on the Republican side, when John Kerry on the Democratic side announced their presidential campaigns, when any major politician who has served admirably and honorably in the U.S. military, usually they have one, two, a half a dozen people who served with them on deployment or the theater where they were at who could stand up and say, the reason you should vote for this person is because I served next to him and they always had my back. Again, we've never, as much as Derek Van Orden likes to talk about being a former Navy SEAL, we never see that.
Right. I mean, he just uses that as his rap. He wraps himself in that with everyone.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he is embarrassing. And honestly, you know, it begs, he is so counter to the traditions of what Western Wisconsin has had for its elected officials and still has for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Shannon Zimmermans and the Brad Pfaffs, they're not that guy. The Brian Rudes and the Dale Schultzes and the Jim Harsdorffs and Sheila Harsdorffs, they're not that guy. Like, mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. It's guys like Shannon Zimmerman and Brad Pfaff and the rest and the people that Western Wisconsin sends to the state legislature typically are people who want to work together to get stuff done.
These names will only pertain to people who are the diehard Republicans in the 3rd District. Go back to Janet Shipper. Go back to Dick Kruel. Yeah. Go back to Dave Brandemule, in addition to the people that you listed. I mean, they would never support the kind of guy that Derek Van Orden is.
When he was 3rd District Chairman.
Yeah.
Never.
Katrina Shanklin and Rebecca Cook are the two major Democratic candidates for Congress in the 3rd. We're not endorsing either one, but we'll welcome them and want to have them on as we move through this election year. But I think whoever comes out of that primary, either Shanklin or Cook, Trigvi, I think they're going to give Van Orden a real run for his money.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think one of the benefits of us going out and having conversations, which we'll have more details and dates for people soon. But I think one of the advantages of that, Todd, is we're going to have a chance to really talk with people mm-hmm. in places like Western Wisconsin about the choices. And hopefully some of those people will be willing to come on and maybe we can, we'll do some offline events for people as well, because there's no way you're getting me back there driving across Wisconsin without having a few beers every night.
Having a beverage or two.
You know what the thing is, though, Todd, is we'll have to have a different beer everywhere we go, depending on where we go, right? If we're in Chippewa mm-hmm. Falls, we're going to and actually, if we're in Chippewa Falls, Pat will have to buy the Lineys.
Kreitlow. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
He'll yeah, exactly.
He'll do that. I want to get to a couple of cuts here, kind of go through a speed round, get Trigvi's reaction. Again, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, spent time working for people like John McCain, Mitch McConnell, and now is helping defeat Trumpism across the United States of America. Trivi, let's give some cuts here from President Biden's speech last night. First of all, he took on these tax increases that Republicans are talking about all the time. And again, this was an off-the-cuff moment, something that the last two now State of the Unions, Biden has been great at. Here is President Biden last night.
Not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealthy. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Trigvi?
All right, so that's a classic setup, Todd. It didn't dawn on me when I was watching the speech, but you know what Biden's doing there is Trump is already talking about a tax cut, mm-hmm. the exact tax cut that he got those guys to say, no, that's lies, mm-hmm. right? That is a classic trap move, because what you're going to start seeing this summer is a whole bunch of ads that Joe Biden said exactly that and that Republicans aren't telling the truth. And listen, everybody knows, like, that is what they will do. They're going to cut taxes again. And we know that our former governor is listening to this show and he loves to talk about the Lafler curve because he goes out to the Reagan ranch, right? Oh, Ronald Reagan taught us the more you cut taxes, the more revenue you raise. That isn't even what the Lafler curve says, right?
Right.
You reach a point where that's not the case. We have a situation, and I think Biden was smart in doing this. We have a situation in the U.S. today where billionaires, literally people like Jeff Bezos are paying more or paying far less as a percentage of their income in taxes. Mark Zuckerberg, George Soros are paying far less than you are. What? Any of you who are listening. That is not conservative. That's kleptocracy.
There you
and
go.
Joe Biden is speaking the truth on that.
I talked to a long.
And we're both conservatives, but like, doesn't it kind of make you mad that Jeff Bezos pays less in taxes than you do, Todd?
Absolutely. I mean, no school teacher, no factory worker, no employee at Walmart, you know, nobody in the state of Wisconsin who working people should not be paying less percentage wise of their taxes than billionaires. And I think most Wisconsinites agree with that. I also was talking to a longtime Republican operative last night on the phone, and they observed and said, you know, it last night really showed, and that clip showed it, Joe Biden was in his element. There's a guy who spent years in the Senate, who knew how to give a speech, who knew how to give and take on the floor, and pretty hard to outdo a professional like that. Let's go to the phone quickly. Mark from the SAC called in. Mark, thanks for calling in. You got a question or observation for Trigvy? Go ahead. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Yeah, I think all that was missing from the Republican response was her wearing an apron with a apple pie just pulled out of the oven with a slice taken out of it. I couldn't go further on that point. But for that mom's apple pie, for those who are curious. But the whole Derek Van Orden, when I hear his name now along with Tom Tiffany, this whole CARE Act, you know, Community Assent for Refugee Entry, I mean, that just strikes me as going back to the 1930s when we didn't want to take refugees fleeing fascist persecution in Europe. And it just seems, do people not see the historical repetitions there? I can't say repeats, but it just certainly sounds like a rhyming to me with the history does.
Mark, thanks a lot. Really appreciate the call. Trigvy, I Joe Biden took on this issue of immigration. There is a bipartisan bill that passed the Senate. Biden's willing to sign it. It is Trump and Johnson in the House who are killing it. And Biden just said, look, I'm not going to buy into this rhetoric that immigrants are poisoning the blood.
Yeah, I mean, James Lankford from Oklahoma is a really conservative guy.
Yep.
And, you know, when Biden said that, he mouthed the word, this is the truth.
Yep.
And, you know, they know exactly what they did, right? Trump wants to run on immigration. Mm-hmm. That's because he views that as the divisive issue. Now, what's ironic is if you listen to right-wing media or you live in that ecosystem, and if you do, I'm glad you're reaching out and listening to Civic Media because you want to know, have an alternative perspective. But if you listen to that, they say over and over again, immigration is the most important issue to Americans or a group of Americans. It's not the top issue. It's the most important issue to those who live in a Fox News ecosystem on the right. But like, and Joe Biden, and in the way that the system is supposed to work, they had a bipartisan compromise.
Exactly.
And they killed it.
We're going to come back and do a speed round trivia on some of these cuts. Want to get to a couple of your comments off the text line. Mary from Mount Horeb, listening in on WMDX, says, this is interesting. I learned that President Biden raises his voice as one of the tools he used to fight his stuttering condition, which I didn't know that. As someone who was born with a speech impediment, there are little tricks you could use to help yourself. And so very interesting that that's one of his. Also, let's see, what was answered, this is from WRCE, the old hometown in Richland Center, says, quote, what was answered last night by Joe Biden, it was, is he old? Yes. Is he too old to be president? No. If I can be that sharp at his age, I would be happy, unquote. Well, that's going to be a great segue when we come back, because I thought that Biden handled this masterfully. We have the clip, Trigvy, and you got it. The dude is still on his game.
Yep. That's right. And, you know, you could see him. He's really comfortable because he came of age in the U.S. Senate and the Congress. Yeah. And you saw that.
He is who he is. Talk about Joe Biden's age and the Republican response with Trigvy Olson on the other side. It's the Todd Lovell Show on Civic Media. My body's old, but it ain't bad. Yeah, we all know you ain't in bed. I don't need your rocking chair.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK.
Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show for a TGIF, the 8th of May, 2024, now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, making a special Friday appearance. We appreciate it so very much to break down the State of the Union last night. And Trigvi, yes, Joe Biden is not shying away from who he is. He's comfortable with who he is. And he can even do a little self-deprecating humor. So I'm going to cue up now. This is when Joe Biden decided to, he's going to get towards the end. And he says, "Let me close with this," and has a little bit of fun with the House of Representatives or the United States Congress.
Let me close with this. Yeah. I know you don't want to hear any more, Lindsay, but I got to say a few more things. I know it may not look like it, but I've been around a while. When you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than ever. I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces and the battle for the soul of our nation. Between those who want to pull America back to the past, those want to move America into the future.
I mean, Trigvi, the question I have there is, can you ever imagine Donald Trump, either in a State of the Union address or any speech that he'd put behind the microphone and saying, "Look, I realize that I might be tanner than some people," you know, making fun of, can you ever see him making fun of the fact that he spray tans himself? He has no ability to make fun of himself.
There's no self-deprecation.
No.
But, I mean, that is a sign of deep sociopathic tendencies or narcissistic tendencies. Yeah, it's nice that I think Biden handled that really well. It's a little bit like Reagan. There you go again. Right. It was solid. I thought, you know, just from an insider perspective, him goading Lindsey Graham, who, you know, they're friends. Like, there's video of him saying anybody who has a problem with Joe Biden and his family, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's gone full 180. Biden was having some fun with them.
Here's a little bit more from, he followed this up, President Joe Biden last night, State of the Union, speaking about his age, and it's really not a number, but your ideas.
The issue facing our nation isn't how old we are, it's how old are our ideas. Hate, anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. But you can't lead America with ancient ideas that only take us back. You lead America, the land of possibilities. You need a vision for the future and what can and should be done. Yes. Tonight you've heard mine. I see a future where, defending democracy, you don't diminish it. I see a future where we restore the right to choose and protect our freedoms, not take them away.
I thought that was a super strong leading up to the finish there. I just thought the last 5 minutes, just he hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, the thing by the last 5 minutes, of course, from an operative's perspective, is no one's the audience has waned. But the good news is, in the era of social media and in the era of things like radio, right, we're revisiting that. He was really strong at the end. And, you know, I think the biggest strength of the speech, as we're talking, and I wish I'd have thought of this last night, but is he painted in big brushstrokes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There was details. There were some small pixels and details, but it was broadly a big brushstroke speech of here are the stakes of the State of the Union.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really well done. So then the Republican response came, and I'm going to give this the time it so richly deserves, about 3 minutes. But Alabama Senator Katie Britt, who I'm not sure I ever heard of before last night, was chosen to give the Republican response. It was weird. It was spooky. I think the best thing to do is somebody put this together on Twitter. Here's we're going to hear, first of all, Katie Britt from the actual speech last night, and then juxtaposed to actress Natalie Portman, whose new movie called May December, a romantic comedy, came out late last year. The look, well, let it speak for itself. First, it is Senator Britt and then Natalie Portman.
We hear you. And we stand with you. I know you're frustrated.
And then the other one.
This is not what I ever would have wanted. But I'm so grateful that our paths led us to this road.
They even look the same.
They look, like, I know.
The camera shot is the same.
That's what this right. Sal Gentile is saying. I mean, did they literally watch this movie and say this is what we want her to be? I mean, in all your years of political advising, campaign strategy, and all your professional life, Trigby, have you ever seen anything like that?
No, it was terrible. It was absolutely. So Julia Yaffe, who is she is a founder of a thing called Puck News,
yes,
which is kind of a boutique news site. Mm-hmm. For those who listen, if you don't know about Puck News, you know, when it comes to DC finance and Hollywood, it's amazing reporting. She tweeted out, and I think it's one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen, the acting chops on display here are somewhere between porn and high school play. Does that not sum it up? It was so Stepford Wives. It was just awful.
I mean, it reminds me of the telenovelas on Univision. You know, I mean, just the overacting, the drama.
She's going to end up owning this because you're going to have the Saturday Night Live thing. Yeah. Like, this is going to be the talk. Like, she's just going to end up owning this, like, really badly. She will be remembered for this forever.
And again, I don't
think she's not even the worst senator from Alabama. Right? That's the kicker. Like, what is wrong with those people?
I don't know.
Honestly, Republicans in Wisconsin, these are your partners. Do you really want to be in a coalition with these morons?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think that Ron Johnson could have given a better response last night.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Right? Yeah,
I mean, I don't get it.
Unbelievable. But she does. She probably makes Wisconsinites feel pride in Ron Johnson. Right? And that's
hard to do.
That's hard to do.
About 2 minutes left here, Trigby. Takeaways.
There's like 40 seconds.
Oh, really? Thank you. The last 30 seconds. Is this going to matter come November? This whole speech?
Yeah, because it set a tone, and it made Chris Acevedo, who's running the Trump campaign, it made his job a lot harder.
Yeah. Agreed. It's always an easy job. We have an hour of Trigby Olson. Thanks for taking the time, my friend. We'll see you next Wednesday. Have a great weekend.
You too, and listeners, have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Back with hour two on the other side. Thanks so much for listening. This is the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news starts now.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh,
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Democrats touting President Biden's State of the Union address, saying the president laid out key issues for the nation and election year.